Welcome. It's Sunday, February 5th, 2023. Our scriptures this week are from Psalms 112 and Matthew 5:13 through 20. The title of the message this week is Perspective. So if you would, please open your Bibles and read with me our scriptures today, starting with Psalms 112. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and the compassionate and the righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Our gospel reading today is from Matthew 5:13 through 20. It's titled Salt and Light, starting at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, in our first reading of Psalms 112, in verse 4 we read, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and the compassionate and a righteous man. So let me begin by asking you this question. How does light dawn for the upright? Well, in Hebrew poetry, darkness often refers to calamity, light to well-being. God brings good to the upright person even during tragedy, and sometimes light dawns through positive new circumstances. And at other times, God's comfort becomes like bright rays in the middle of adversity. The upright person is someone who focuses on God, seeks to live for him, and praises him and delights in his commands. The psalmist is writing to encourage us to evaluate and, if necessary, to change our perspective. In his day, as it is today, so many believers are not focused on God, seeking to live for him, praising him, and delighting in his commands. That's why he finished this psalm by writing, the wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. In Psalms 112:10. Well, all too many believers today are like the story that was told of a little girl who went to visit her grandparents. It seems as though they held Sunday as the Lord's Day and holy. They thought it should be a day of quietness to walk, not to run in it. and that the Bible was the only book that should be read. The granddaughter could not swing or gather the flowers that grew in the pasture, and while Grandpa was taking his nap, she asked for permission to walk to the gate, and she received it. Well, along the fence, she stopped to watch the old mule standing with his head bowed and his eyes closed. So, reaching through the fence, she said, "Poor old fella, have you got religion too?" Well, unfortunately, that's how many view Christianity. Many in the world today are completely turned off by the religious legalism portrayed by others. And worst of all, perhaps, is the fact that many Christians are guilty of thinking of it as a virtue rather than a vice. They need to change their perspective to be both salt and light, as is the title of our gospel reading today. So in light of that, let me ask you this. What's your favorite color? Is it more 450? Or do you tend towards 600? Maybe even 700? Just in case those numbers don't immediately mean anything to you, on the visible spectrum scale for light, 450 nanometers means blue, 600 is yellow, and 700 nanometers, you are seeing red. But we don't see numbers, do we? We see the beautiful, illuminating colors that light takes on as it's refracted and reflected before our eyes. We don't experience nanometers. We bask under a blue sky, or we bathe and wonder at the beauty of a sunset that melts from orange to crimson red. So whether we catalog light as 550 nanometers or perceive it as green is all a matter of perspective. In Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount, immediately after Jesus lays out his rejoice and be glad beatitudes, he lifts up two metaphors of how disciples of the kingdom will be known of this world. They will be the salt and the earth. They will be the light of the world, the light that will shine before others. I mean, salt enhances flavors, and the light sharpens both sight and insight. And Jesus is calling would-be followers of the kingdom to enhance their lives by living on the cutting edges, the places where new perspectives and new tastes and new visions are embraced. So look at it this way. Light does not just do away with darkness and illuminate corners and crevices. Light also works to provide a new perspective, to put our experiences and perceptions into a new light. To be a disciple of Jesus is not just to be focused beam of light at someone's measurable nanometer with laser-like narrowness and intensity, to be the light that Jesus challenged his disciples to be, also means to continually put a new light, a new perspective on all the world, to willingly change up, as a football enthusiast would put it, the game plans that we are used to living by every day. A Jesus description of the kingdom of God, where the blessed are the poor in spirit, the mournful, the meek, the peacemakers, the persecuted, the childlike, it shifts our focus and redirects our light. The Beatitudes, they force us to stop looking at some life's problems as a collective to be conquered, and instead to look at each other's person as singular and significant, an individual to be embraced. Example, a business executive leaves his office late one night. He is tired, hungry, and thinks maybe he'll just get some sleep on the train while en route to his home. Well, two stops into his journey, a father with two young children comes into his train car. The children proceed to run up and down the aisles, making a lot of noise and disturbing everyone. No sleep is possible. Well, the businessman, at first he fumes silently in his seat. Then the anger builds and he becomes so irritated at the father for not controlling his children that he gets out of his seat and he scolds him. He's saying, "You really should teach your children better manners. Besides, it's not just a matter of behaving badly. It's not safe while the train is careening down the tracks to have them running up and down the aisles." Well, the father took the criticism in stride and replied sheepishly, "I'm sorry. You are right. I should be insisting they behave better, especially in public. But we've just come from the hospital where their mother has died suddenly. and the children are in a state of shock, and we don't know how to react. In fact, I don't know how to react, so I'm not on the top of things right now, like I should be. I'm sorry, sir. Thanks for waking me up to my responsibility. So in 1 minute, everything changed. The businessman shifted from being angry and annoyed to being sympathetic and helpful. He gained a whole new perspective. He saw his immediate reality in a new light. That very weary commuter train traveler was seeing someone the way Jesus saw everyone, as a whole person. The whole spectrum of good to bad that makes up all of our lives. The light Jesus calls his disciples to shine out into the world is a light that equally illuminates sin and suffering. It is a light that knows judgment yet offers love. It is a light that sees deserved condemnation yet extends the commitment of divine love. The salt of the light that Jesus teaches us is to see people as they really are. Instead of spoiled kids running rampant through the commuter train, the weary traveler, he suddenly saw the truth. A family in pain. A family suffering a huge loss. A family trying to cope. And that change in perspective changed everything. People who are hungry need to be fed. I mean, kids who have no place to sleep, they need a safe place to bed down. Seeing the reality of what individuals are dealing with in their lives help us to focus the light of our faith on their immediate needs, not our own. If we all knew what each other was going through, we would see each other in a whole new light, with a new perspective. The Jesus salt and light perspective. It helps us to see ourselves in terms of what we could be. It puts a new light, a new insight on old perceptions. But it also gives us a new perspective on old shadows and those blackened corners of our lives. In the light of Jesus, let's see what we could be, what God is calling us to be, what is completely transformable in our lives. We are called to be a light for the world. And we are also invited to immerse ourselves and transform ourselves in that new light. That new vision of possibilities and perspectives. And we are invited to continue Jesus' mission on earth. The Jesus light offers a whole new reading on the light spectrum. To see people as Jesus sees them. Jesus did not just want his disciples to see people as they really are. That was only the first step. The disciples who truly embrace Jesus' light, who sees his new illumination on this world, is a person who sees people as Jesus saw them. Jesus never saw anyone as a sinner, only as a sufferer. And Jesus never saw anyone as someone who had fallen short, but as someone who needed help to cross the finish line. Jesus did not condemn. Jesus cured. I mean, disciples, they don't see others as sinners, but as fellow sufferers. Disciples, they don't see others as people who have fallen short, but as people who need help to be pulled across the finish line. Disciples don't condemn anyone, especially those trapped in the slavery of sin. They offer power and divine love. The church would be changed, and the world would totally change, if this one thing were put into practice. If we would only see other people as Jesus sees them, if we all saw each other as Jesus sees us, then we would see everyone we meet as a beloved child of God. Hold to that perspective. Remembering our scriptures today where we read, "Even in darkness light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and the compassionate and righteous man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Well, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So praise the Lord, for blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His heart is secure, and he will have no fear." Do you need to change your perspective? Well, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, do you see others as Jesus did? Do you need to change your perspective? Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.